Give thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And finally, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I'm going to read from Revelation. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around them. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is coming. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. So what I want to talk about is giving thanks. Now I thought, okay, it's foundational, so that works. It's our theme. It's near Thanksgiving. That's two, right? And it's song night. That's a trifecta of reasons for this lesson tonight. And also by reading the last one, I want you to notice, we know that love will persist. That will not end. Apparently, giving thanks won't either. Of all the things that we do in the earth here to serve our Lord, singing praise and giving thanks will not stop either. That will continue in heaven. And so I wanted to look at not just the talking about giving thanks, because I think we get that. I think the verses I read prove we're to be thankful. In fact, we're supposed to be thankful always for all things. For all things. So, what I want to talk about is this. How do you give thanks when you just don't feel like it? Now, I'm talking from my own experience. I'm sure some of you young people will go through this, and other people will relate to this, but life is hard. Unfortunately, it's just hard. And though James says it's like a vapor and it comes and goes pretty quickly, it sure doesn't feel like it sometimes. It really doesn't. Well, maybe when it's really going good, it goes quickly. But when it's not, it just click, 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 and it just goes on forever. Now, so what I've had to do in my life is try to figure out how to obey the command to be thankful when I don't feel thankful. Now, what got me thinking about this was Josh's lesson about bitterness, because that is a hindrance to being thankful. And of all the many examples he gave, a couple of them stood out because they had good reason to be bitter. I mean, life can be like that. In fact, when Miriam had her two sons die and her husband and was going back empty, pretty much, except for her daughter-in-law, she felt pretty bitter. But I don't think she sinned in that feeling any more than Hannah felt bitterness and crying out from her soul to God for all that she'd been through. In fact, God seemed to justify her and granted her request. So you can feel bitter, and it can be justified. It can be right. I mean, I find Job interesting because in chapter 2, verse 3, which has to be understood before you go into the rest of the book, the Lord said to Satan, You caused me to punish and destroy him without cause. You provoked me to do that without cause. Job did nothing wrong. He was a blameless man. And look what he had to go through. And so, we can feel bitter and quite hurt and angry, even angry with God, justifiably, without sinning. Even Jonah really had good reason to feel like he felt. I mean, imagine if a nation was about to destroy us, but one of you was sent there to to preach them the gospel first. What a tough job. But in our life also, there's going to be many times when thanking God is going to have to come from something other than what we see. When we walk by faith, I know most Bibles say, and not by sight. Every commentator says, no, it has nothing to do with eyesight. We walk by faith, not by what appears to be. Okay, that verse comes in 2 Corinthians 4:7. In the midst of the resurrection, not being comfortable, well, being at home in this body, but really wanting to be somewhere else. And what carries us through that is by not what we see going on around us, but faith. Because if you judge your life and what we're hoping for by what we see going on around us, you're not going to learn, you're not going to get anywhere. Because what's going on around us is not really of a lot of value. Sometimes our lives are very mundane. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed. Now, sure, we try to spice it up a little more than that, but that's the essence of most of our lives. We spend a third working, a third sleeping, and a third trying to figure out what to do. Actually, I think that third is where we do what this book says to do, though. Now, one way to help to be thankful is to think about blessings. But that can be hard sometimes. There's been times in my life where I've been a Christian a little over 40 years. I didn't just have a few bad days. I've had a few bad years, frankly. I mean, we're talking a long stretch where I have to really try hard to think of a blessing. And nevertheless, I'm going to tell you how you do it, though. Sometimes we may not see a blessing because we're frustrated. Sometimes we might not know a blessing when we see it. That's another thing. We might even need to ask somebody, hey, can you talk to me, brother? What do you see good in my life? Am I got anything going for me? You know, we got to talk to each other like that. Because somebody who's impartial and observant and knows you can tell you something very encouraging about what you have, and you may forget that you have that. Okay? Sometimes we can have a wrong idea of what a blessing is because we might not, through the world we're in, we might start thinking about we're not seeking what's above. We're not looking above. We're thinking about what's going on around us. And so therefore we're not seeking the right things. And if we become entrapped with physical things, we can lose sight of what's important. Now, I'm not minimizing physical things. In Luke 16, when Abraham was replying to the rich man, he said, hey, look, you received good things in your life. Lazarus has received bad things. So I'm not minimizing the reality of good and bad in our life physically. And I don't think we should do that either to each other. We must recognize, yes, some people have bad things in their life. Nevertheless, we're still supposed to be thankful. So how do we do that? Well, we need to look at the type of things, even in the bad, that are still good. We need to never lose sight that Jesus said in Luke 12 that where our treasure is, that's where our heart should be. Because if we start getting caught up in looking at even brothers and sisters who seem to be doing pretty well, it can be disappointing. We might think God has favorites. We might think, well, maybe he doesn't like me. It's hard to be thankful when you get in that mindset. And I believe, it's my opinion, that many of us can go there. I really do. Because Satan's going to hit everybody with everything. And a real good way to hurt a Christian is to get them to think that maybe God doesn't like them as much. Maybe I'm not good. Maybe I've got a problem that I don't know about. Am I even saved? You know, you can really get into a downward spiral of thinking. And so we have to look out for each other in this because we're not in this alone. This is where each other can really step up and help. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, this is like hollering and screaming at each other, sometimes like people do in their house. Bet you haven't had that happen. Evil speaking. Put these away from you with all malice. So he's saying, okay, we got bitterness and a host of other things. We got to put them away. Well, what are we supposed to do? He says, and do this. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Be forgiving to one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, what I find about the instructions that are typically like this in the Word of God compared to the world, here's what the world would say. How did you feel about your father? Did your mother give you a lot of attention when you were young? Tell me about your dreams. This is garbage. What God says is, you know what? Be kind to one another. If this is what your behavior and mindset is like, bitterness and bad behavior, start to do this. Start to be kind. Start to be tenderhearted. Start doing things that God wants you to do. And you'll find a repairing of yourself in that. Okay? What God always says is, hey, stop doing and thinking bad and start doing and thinking what is good. Don't analyze yourself. There's no place in here where I find psychoanalysis or self-understanding in such weird ways. It's what we do that matters. And by doing what's right, it starts to become who we are. That's the way God's psychology works. It's not found in pills or some ungodly person who's trying to help the saints, which is, to me, mind-boggling that any of us would go to a psychologist who's not even a Christian. I can't imagine Jesus or any of the people that we read about our ancestors in the faith going to the world for advice about anything. And we have all the advice right here. You got a problem with sin? Stop it. Ask your brethren to help you. Get some prayers and start doing immediately what's right. Start doing what's good. Start thinking about other people instead of yourself. You know, if I stop worrying about me in bitterness and I start worrying about somebody who I think I can help, the bitterness starts to go away. That's God's prescription for healthy living. In Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 15. Look diligently, lest any of you fall short of the grace of God. Now, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Now, this looking diligently, this is a command to a group of people. It's a plural verb, for what it's worth. He's telling a group of people, and that would have to be a church, to look and investigate and visit yourselves. Check yourselves out is what he's saying. And there's two lests here. Lest two things. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness spring up. And we have to do that because these two things can lead to many becoming defiled. That's scary. We're a body, and so if one person starts to get bitter, that can spread, you know? Somebody's spiritual illness can spread, and we need to look at each other and look to see who we can help, and we need to do it eagerly with robust. Look at chapter 10, verse 24. I like this. And let us think about one another in order to provoke love and good works. To provoke it. Now, I like this word provoke. Depending on the context, it could mean irritate. Literally. I mean, you have to pester. We have to irritate each other if that's what it takes. Provoke to love and good works. This is actually a verse that says it's okay to be irritating in a good context. Perfectly fine. But we have to do that because think of what you're doing here. Think of what this is the most proactive assertion of doing something for others. Okay. You're allowed to be annoying in this good thing here. You can be. Maybe people will be annoyed, but you know what? You're doing something good and they will thank you. It'll spread. And if we were all pestering each other to be more loving and do good works, it would happen. Because it says it. It says it right here. We just have to do it. We have to realize that the things that can inhibit being thankful are many. I had a lot of examples written down. I thought, you can fill in the blank. I'm not going to take up the time to that. I don't have a whole lot of time on Sunday night after singing. But I know what it's like, not recently, thankfully, but I do know what it's like to have a very hard time singing because of a heavy heart. But here's the real key to me. And no matter how many things sometimes and how depressing life can be, here's one thing that always, and I think, can pull you through. I'd like to share it with you. Job, again, a man who went through more than I think any of us have gone through. When he wanted to know why this is happening to me. I have done nothing wrong. Why? I love God's answer. He just said, well, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when the morning stars sang out together? Did you ever command the morning since your days began? Have you entered the springs of the sea? Do you know where light dwells? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Have you divided a channel for the overflowing water or a path for the thunderbolt? Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, which is a constellation, or loosen the belt of the constellation Orion? Can you bring out constellations in their season, or can you hide the Great Bear with its cubs? That's another constellation. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of waters may cover you? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Who set the wild donkey free or loosed the bonds of the badger? And goes on and on. The answer that God gave in saying all this is that he loves us so much and he's going to chasten us when necessary. He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us what we need, not what we want, for the sole purpose of making us like Jesus and getting to heaven. And so if nothing makes sense and you feel like nothing, know this. Sing thanks to God, always with a full heart, knowing that the one who created all things and by whom all things exist, and he keeps everything alive with his power, wants us to be with him forever. That's enough reason. You don't need an answer like Job. You don't need an answer. Job didn't get it. That's the answer he got. Because that's who God is. And he loves us, and he's going to do what he has to do for our own good. So whatever happens, whatever the will of the Lord is perfect. If only his will were done in heaven, down here too. Think of what it would be like here. But someday we will be in heaven where only his will is done, and where there will be love and thankfulness and praise to God.